This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about Prospera and about offering Prospera, but also a little bit about how Prospera is used in the liturgy. All Prospera is the offering bread. It's made of pure wheat flour, never any other kinds of flour in there like rye or anything like that. Water and yeast and salt only. Nothing else. No butter, no oil or anything else. Just flour, water, yeast, and salt. It's always leavened, and that is because we are celebrating the resurrection. So as it were, we have living bread. And always two layers. The two layers signifying the two natures of Christ. So there's always two layers that are sandwiched onto each other. And it always has a stamp on the top. And the stamp is different depending upon what the usage will be. Generally, the best thing is for the faithful to bake it as an offering. So in our church, we have several people who bake Prospera on a regular basis and bring it to church as a free will offering. Then it is used in the liturgy. There are two styles of Prospera, two main styles. The so-called Greek or Byzantine style, which is a big stamp, a big piece of bread, that is only one loaf is used for the entire liturgy. And that's an easy one to give directions about. So this is what this is showing. Your handout shows the exact same pictures. This picture is the stamp, and this picture is the bread. So obviously that would be like the mirror image, right? Or the negative of it, because it's stamped on top of it. And so the one large loaf, which will be used in five different ways. The center of the loaf, right here, is the lamb, or will become the lamb. It is cut out in a square, and it will be placed on the chalice in the center, and that will become the body of Christ. No other bread that's placed in the chalice becomes the body, or on the discos becomes the body of Christ. Only that bread, the lamb. It is with a sign that says Ixus Christos Nika, or Jesus Christ conquers. Almost always it's in Greek. I've never actually seen it in anything but Greek. I suppose it could be also in Slavonic or in Romanian or something else. So this, the center is the lamb. The other two that are making the vertical part of the cross, because basically this is a cross, right? The top part also has the seal Ixus Christos Nika, and it will be used to commemorate the living, and also the hierarchs among the living. And then the bottom part is used to commemorate the reposed. The left part in a triangular form is used for an offering for the Theotokos. And it's cut out in a sort of like a triangular way. And then there are three rows of three each of little triangular pieces, which are for the ranks. And in order to keep this short, I won't name them all. The outline has them. So one of these days I'll show you a proskynedy up close and personal, and you'll be able to see, and we'll talk about the symbolism. I didn't want to go into too much detail, but I did want to show you what the Prospera bread looks like. This is the big one, and it would be, you know, it could be as large as 8 inches in diameter, and it's only one of them is used for the liturgy. That's the Byzantine style. We often do that because it's easier for the Prospera bakers to make two or three or four of those. Now, the Slav style is to have five that look just like this, like the center. So five that are stamped with the Ixus Christos Nika, they're smaller loaves then. Sometimes, if we have it, or if you have it, there's also a stamp for the Theotokos that looks like the Theotokos, which is used for the bread that's offered for her. So whereas this is five sections, the Slavs would have five separate loaves. You can put that down if you want now. So that's a little bit about what Prospera looks like and the styles of Prospera. Now, what is Prospera used for? Or how is it used, excuse me? It's used in two ways. One is the priest in the proskynedia, or the preparation service, or the prophesis service, in the altar is prepares the bread and the wine for the divine liturgy. So the bread is cut in a certain way and put on the discos, which is that flat circular stand, basically. And then wine and water are poured into the chalice, and all is made ready for the liturgy. So that's the proskuneia service that happens before divine liturgy. Also, prosper is used by the faithful for personal offering, asking prayers for their loved ones. And it's submitted with a list of names, either in a commemoration book or on a scrap of paper. And the people would commemorate, would list the living and the dead, sometimes with one loaf, often with two loaves. This should always be given with alms. Whenever we ask the Lord something in the church, we should give alms. Now, this is not a business transaction, but this is where we cast our bread upon the waters. So it's important to give your prosper with alms. And the handout shows the discos prepared for liturgy. One of these pages at the bottom shows the lamb and the theotokos loaves. It's not a really good picture. I'd like to get you a better picture. Now, here comes the things that I really want you to know about for our circumstances, for our parish. Because I think there's a problem with the way we use prosper, the way we think about prosper. You know that I've said many times to you this little saying, the priest prays for the people and with the people, but not instead of the people. Okay? This means you should be present when your prosper is offered. It doesn't make any sense for there to be commemoration books back there and every single one just chunked onto a tray and sent into the altar, whether a person comes to liturgy or not. You should offer your prosper personally. You should take out your book or write your names on a slip. If you do this habitually, then you'll probably have something that you have always written and you bring to church or you keep here. We have a provision for that. And then offer your prosper with alms. And it doesn't make any sense just to, whatever books are there, just throw them up in the altar. It should be your prayer joined to the church. So that's very, very important. And also concerning names, living or the dead, Orthodox or not Orthodox. But it's very, very important to understand what the priest is doing in the proskuneia so you understand why you need to tell me whether a person is Orthodox or not. The assumption, if a name is given, is that the person is Orthodox. So if they're not Orthodox, you should notate that they're not Orthodox. This is not any kind of caste system or any kind of holier-than-thou. People get offended about saying, oh, why should I, you know, why are you delineating? That's because they don't understand what's happening. Orthodox and non-Orthodox need to be prayed for. We're all sinners in need of God. But Orthodox are of the household of God and are in need of God and can have the holy mysteries, can have Holy Communion. If you love your sister very much, but she's not Orthodox, you might pray for her, but you're not going to tell her to come take communion in the Orthodox Church. And the priest is not going to allow her to have communion. Communion, taking the holy mysteries, is only for Orthodox Christians. So, in the same way, commemoration of people in the proskuneia, where a piece of bread is actually taken out with the spear and placed on the discos, and later on, all these breads are poured into the chalice with the prayer, by thy precious blood, O Lord, wash away the sins of those who are commemorated through the intercessions of thy saints. So we're saying, by thy precious blood, wash away the sins of those who are commemorated. Well, we partake of the precious body and blood of Christ. Unworthy as we are of the household of God and we partake of his body and blood. Those who are not Orthodox Christians do not. So those who are not Orthodox Christians should not also be, shall we say, poured into the chalice. So that's why you must tell me, or any other priest, whether or not the people that you want to have commemorated are Orthodox or not. Now, I think it's important for us to pray for everyone. And so I will pray for anyone that is mentioned in your commemoration book, but I would pray just privately, just like you would at home. You see a person, Lord have mercy upon Jason. If Jason's Orthodox, I also take a particle out. Please use Orthodox names. Don't use any nicknames. It should be their Christian name, their baptismal name. And just a personal note, it really helps if you print legibly. If you print in really terrible cursive, I can't read it. And especially if you print in cursive Russian, I just don't have a chance. I need it to be printed if I'm going to be able to read it. Perhaps some people can read cursive Russian. Father Nicholas might be able to. I think some of you can't read your own writing. So please print. Okay? Also, a question here in the outline is, what happens if Prosper is offered late? When should it be offered? Before the Divine Liturgy. The vast majority of you offer it during the Divine Liturgy, sometimes 10 or even 20 minutes after the liturgy has begun. It is meant to be offered during the proskomedie, the preparation service, because that's when the priest has his full attention on commemorating people. I can't have my full attention on commemorating people in the liturgy, during the liturgy. I can't go to the proskomedie table and spend 20 minutes taking particles of bread out. I've already done that for about 45 minutes in the morning before liturgy. I can't do it. During liturgy, there's not time. And also, it is just not right for the priest to be doing those sorts of things during the liturgy. He should be rooted like a tree in front of the altar, except when the service calls for movement. So, if he has things like that to do, then he's got all kinds of distractions. And we are praying together now, okay? You should be assisting my prayer, and I should be assisting your prayer. I should assist yours by praying for you during the liturgy and before the liturgy, and I do. And by trying to serve piously, and I do the best I can. And carefully. And you should be assisting my prayer by understanding that we are praying together. So something that is distracting to the priest, like today we've, I don't know, had eight or 10 or 12 prosperous come in 10 minutes after the liturgy began. And poor Daniel was reading them late into the liturgy because the timing was wrong. So they should be submitted during the proskomedia. Now that brings up a question, I'm sure, in some of your minds. Well, how can I do that when I don't get to church until liturgy begins, or even liturgy is already begun? Well, that is a problem. That is a problem. We pray together. We offer the liturgy together. And all of the liturgy is important. If you will make sure that your prospera is submitted at least 10 minutes before the liturgy begins, then I can read the names and commemorate them. When it is submitted after liturgy begins, I don't read the names. And I don't, all I do is take one or two little particles out of the bread. I don't take a particle out for each one of the people. It's impossible. So it's really not done correctly if you bring prosper after liturgy begins. Does that mean you have to get her earlier? Yeah. Does that mean maybe the morning's a little longer? Yeah. But it would be the better way for you to do it. So that's what I am asking you to do. If you don't do it, I'll still take your prosper and someone will read the names. It'll be as before. But it's really not the right way to do things. We try to do things the right way when we can. So, hopefully this word is sufficient and you will take it to heart. Come to liturgy before it begins. Submit your prosper. Be part of the prayer for the people in the proskomedie. And I think you'll also see that liturgy will be more meaningful for you because you'll be more collected and ready to go because you'll already be here before the liturgy begins. A couple more notes, and that is that keep in mind that my diptychs are very extensive. I've basically kept the name of everyone who's come through the doors and worshiped with us for any length of time at all. And so parishioners past and present, sometime parishioners, occasional visitors, they're all in there. So, if your Prosper commemoration includes everyone in this room, then I would say those names, you know, 10 times. Which is, to be honest with you, is really a little bit difficult. And it's not necessary. All you need to do is commemorate a person once for the liturgy and put the particle, and then God will take care of them. So we don't need to have everyone in the parish mentioned in everyone's book. What I would suggest to you is this. Have a book that is your local book, that is for here, that you keep here. And it would not include parishioners' names, but it would include your family and other people that you know that are not in my diptychs. Okay? And then have a traveling book, which would include all of the parish. I certainly hope it would have me in it, and my family, and everyone here. And then when you travel to a place, then you would, obviously, bright and early, when, you know, 20 minutes before the liturgy begins, submit your Prospera when you're traveling. And it would include all the people in the parish. So that's just a little bit about Prospera and a little bit of pastoral instruction. I believe in giving instruction, but not really laying down rules. If you follow this instruction, then may God bless you. If you don't follow this instruction, may God bless you also. You'll still have your Prospera commemorated, but you have to understand that it does cause difficulties, and it will not be commemorated in the way it should be, because it's impossible for me to do it after the liturgy begins. So may God bless you and help you in all things.